You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to site now, check out what we have there, the aftermath of Wildcard Weekend. The four results are in as we advance to the divisional playoffs, and we had four teams eliminated. There's down to eight left to go in the quest for Super Bowl 53, and that's what we'll do as we kick off a new week here, keeping it going here with fantasy football limited to the teams that are still playing, the games that are available to you. We have seven games left, the four in the divisional round, two in the championship round, of course, Super Bowl 53, so we'll keep it going there. Now, it's important to know what you're going to take away from these teams, not only the ones that stayed alive, but the ones that were eliminated and what we're looking at for 2019 and seeing their early fantasy outlook before free agency and the draft kind of changed the perspective of the team and all that. And with the playoff teams, we know there's not going to be a concern of the coaching change for the most part. Last year, we did have the Mike Mularkey switch there after the Titans even advanced to the divisional playoffs, but the Texans look like they're staying pat with Bill O'Brien. So we'll dive right into that here, looking at the four games. Speaking of the Texans, they did lose 21-7 in the first playoff game, and that's what we'll talk about first. Let's start with the Texans and their takeaways here. Deshaun Watson, 235 yards, a TD interception, also had 76 yards rushing. Typical game for him, putting the team on his back here. And really, the Colts did a good job containing DeAndre Hopkins. He was banged up with that shoulder injury. So injury-riddled, and Hopkins put up the big numbers all the way through the end here, but he did slow down here in this one with the shoulder. The AC joint played through the injury. Five catches only on 10 targets for 37 yards. So that injury kind of explained it. He should be fully healthy there, ready to go for the 2019 regular season. He'll be fine, I'm sure, when OTAs come around. So there's no concerns with Hopkins. Big year for him. I think it can only get better if they continue to establish other threats next to him. And Kiki Cootie was the guy that we saw finally come back from that hamstring injury. They wanted to wait till he's fully healthy, waited until this playoff game. 14 targets here, 11 catches, 110 yards, and TD. Demaryius Thomas down for the season. We'll see what his future is. But Cootie could be a big factor here behind Hopkins, and there's an immediate trust there with Watson. We saw Cootie in his first game go off in a similar way here as a rookie, so they really like the kid. A lot of versatility, a lot of speed, good complement, can work the slot if needed. So Cootie is going to be on the radar here because they want to get him more involved. He should shake off that hamstring that bothered him throughout his rookie season, beginning in training camp. So I see Cootie as being a big factor in this passing game, because again, Thomas, the question mark, they could go out and get a wide receiver, but we have Will Fuller coming back also from a major injury. So I think Demaryius Thomas, it's safe to say they'll move on here. They don't need to force it here, and especially not in a key role. If Cootie is going to be in the slot and you have Fuller coming back, we'll have to watch Fuller. He's had multiple big injuries here early in his career, so we're not 100% sure of his return, but Fuller was gangbusters when he came back, but I think Cootie can cut into that a little bit with Hopkins, but it's all good news for Hopkins there to have two weapons to take some attention off him when fully healthy, and that's what we expect from this wide receiver core going forward, and a pretty high upside. And Deshaun Watson, I think we had lower expectations for him in fantasy. He had a few down games, but a lot of big games as well with his running, still getting the job done on the ground. Like I said, 76 yards rushing in that game. He's had some big passing games as well. Let's really hope for his sake the Texans upgrade that offensive line. That's going to be the biggest question here for Houston in the offseason. They've been trotting out guys like Julian Davenport and Kendall Lamb. They've got to get better up front, not only for the sake of Watson to keep him upright, took three more sacks against the Colts, but to help this running game. We'll see if Lamar Miller is going to be the factor. They teased with Dante Foreman. He had the Achilles that lasted. Alfred Blue is just a guy back up behind Miller. Miller's getting a year older here. So I think this backfield is pretty much in flux and a toss-up here. For 2019, they could go get another back in the draft as well. So nothing locked in there. Let's just hope, again, they improve the overall blocking to help Watson and whoever's carrying the ball there in 2019. That would be very helpful. Now, the Colts move on, and we know with the Colts, while they're still alive, we can dissect them. Andrew Luck looking darn good here. He's going to be a QB1 locked in 2019. 222 yards, two TDs. Did have a pick, so not the biggest game for Luck, but they also rushed for 200 yards with Marlon Mack getting 148 of those and a TD. They're up 21-0 in this game, so they could just cruise along in the second half. The Texans didn't offer much resistance, failed on fourth downs a couple times trying to go in. So a lot of question marks there for what you look at in the passing game, because they didn't really throw it and they kind of contain themselves. They'll have to throw it a lot more against the Chiefs this week. We know that. We know Andrew Luck has had a monster playoff game against the Chiefs, comeback 4 years ago there. So he's got the experience. It's going to be a shootout. So I expect a lot more of Luck. And really, Mack can continue to do damage here. He's had two monster games in a row. They're going to get him involved. It's notable that Naeem Hines didn't have a touch in this game. You had Jordan Wilkins, only two carries for 9 yards. He looked good briefly when he was in the game, but it was all about Mack. So we'll see if this continues there. I expect a little bit more Hines and Wilkins there against the Chiefs. I wrote about it there on Sporting News that the Chiefs do give up a lot to receiving back. So Mack's not natural at doing that. So I think you could see a little bit more of Hines and Wilkins. And the game flow could also precipitate that you're going to have more backs involved in the passing game. Maybe Colts can't assume they're going to be playing with a 21-0 lead. In fact, it's probably going to be a back-and-forth affair with the Chiefs. So Mack is still like. Luck, obviously, really like. T.Y. Hilton played hurt in the game. Looked good in the first half. Really cooled off again when they stepped off the pedal a little bit. 5 catches, 85 yards on 10 targets. Dontrell Inman looked fine again. 4 catches, 53 yards on TD. So he's clearly the number two here with Ryan Grant hurt, Chester Rogers, just a guy there behind him, 4 for 46 on 5. But Inman is the guy they look in the scoring position. He's kind of like the extension of Eric Ebron, who also scored in this game early. 3 catches, 26 yards on 6 targets. He did his touchdown thing, kind of disappeared. So again, I expect the pedal to be pushed a little bit more for the Colts in the next round, but it's a good thing shaping up here. I think they'll consider getting a wide receiver. I think Mack has made it clear that they don't have to force it on a Le'Veon Bell or a back with their offensive line and the way Mack runs and the potential of Wilkins and Hines. So I think if anything, they'll look at that number two receiver, but watch out for Inman if they really like him here in this offense going forward, kind of like the Ebron emergence and Jack Doyle, that Inman could have finally a place to stick on a particular team here in 2019. So look for him to continue to be busy here. The Chiefs do struggle across the board in the secondary. You could have T.Y. Hilton facing Kendall Fuller there in the slot. So things could open up easily for Inman against Steven Nelson and other players on that Chiefs secondary. So that's how we kind of look at the Colts going forward, a little bit for 2019, a little bit still alive here in the playoffs here following the 2018 season. Well, we're talking about NFL playoffs, and that's a reminder, this is the best time to get on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy or gal with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, not when Super Bowl 53 is just around the corner and time is running out, games are running out on the 2018-19 NFL season. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. So make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, and the ownership there at MyBookie really cares about good customer service. They offer the craziest props and the best player perks in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. If you want to make money during playoff season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to just take my word for it. If you check them out yourself, you'll like MyBookie as well. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the playoffs. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Again, that's the promo code LOCKEDON25 to take advantage of this offer and get into the action at MyBookie 50% deposit bonus. Promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back here to break down the rest of the games from wildcard weekend in the NFL 2018-19. So we have a few more games to get to, obviously. We just hit the first one there, the Saturday afternoon special. Now we'll move to Saturday night with the Cowboys and Seahawks. The Cowboys eliminate the Seahawks 24-22. It was a strangely conservative game plan from Seattle in this one. A lot of running early that wasn't working. Chris Carson really struggled to get going. 13 carries, 20 yards. They got a spark later from Rashad Penny, but that was about it. 24 carries, 73 yards. I think they stuck way too long with the run in this game and kind of reined in Russell Wilson. Only 233 yards and a touchdown for Wilson, and only 14 yards rushing. Did get a touchdown there on the ground to make his day worth it there in DFS, but the takeaway here is that Rashad Penny is not completely out of the picture going forward. He is a first-round pick. I know Carson had a big season, but looked a little worn down against the really top-flight Cowboys run defense here. So we'll have to see how this backfield sorts out. Mike Davis did get involved and get a two-point conversion late in the game. So he's not going to go around anyway. I think we'll have to see how this J.D. McKissic thing works. McKissic also had a touchdown in this game when they were in trail mode there late. So C.J. Prosize, I would bet they're moving on from. He's just too injury-prone here. But McKissic, somebody you have to look at. How does it work out with McKissic and Davis on third downs? How does it work out between Penny and Carson? Has it developed into more of a committee instead of Carson the workhorse? A lot of big questions about this running game going forward. Admirable the approach. Here, this run-heavy, top-ranked run offense in the NFL. But I think there has to be some changes, some adjustments here going forward. This offensive line overachieved. They were in their element run blocking for sure, and that helped them. Maybe they'll make some improvements there. So a lot of things we have to look at in the running game. I think the passing game, expect more of Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin. Baldwin's getting older, but still looks pretty good. Slowdown in this game by that Cowboys secondary, three catches only for 32 yards. Tyler Lockett locked in, coming off a big season. He's now a top flight wide receiver 2-3 in that conversation for you. Four catches, 120 yards, and six targets. The connection between him and Wilson is off the charts good right now. So he's in the wide receiver 2 conversation. I think that's a legitimate thing we can look at for Lockett. I think Baldwin, more of a wide receiver 3 to me, just because he's getting older. He did have a lot of injuries this year going forward. So something to keep in mind. Darren Wilson locked in as a QB1. He'll continue to get the job done. They'll have some more guys emerge. We'll have Will Disley back at tight end to help. David Moore, nowhere to be seen in this game. I think they'll get him more involved back next year with a little bit more experience and some other receivers there that will get some run there. So Wilson will be fine. Again, the running game, we're going to take a wait-and-see approach and not assume anything carries over from 2018, especially with Penny showing some juice here late in the season as a first-round pick. Now, on the other side of things, Dak Prescott looked good. Again, getting his first playoff win, 226 yards, TD. It was a bit of a grind, but the Seahawks made it a grind. Bend don't break. He had an interception that went off somebody's hands there. He had a rushing TD, so he looked in form. Ezekiel Elliott was awesome. That receiving prowess of this year, that's going to continue. Just a great year as a receiver. Continued to four catches for 32 yards to go along with this 26 carries for 137 yards and a TD. So he looked in fine form, well-rested from that week 17 game where they didn't use him all that much. So they were going to give him the workload, 30 touches. He's locked in here in the conversation, I think, for that first overall pick. That's how much he's improved as a receiver, his usage at least. And I don't think that's going to change too much, even with Amari Cooper there. Cooper, another good game. Continues seven catches, 106 yards on nine targets. So he's locked in now as a wide receiver one in this offense going forward. And good opportunities against the Rams, because the Rams are pretty vulnerable against the run. And Elliott can give them fits. Cooper is a guy that's going to be a tough cover for Marcus Peters. You can go all the way back to week one where Cooper was the Raider and played the Rams. But this can be a little bit different here with Cooper's value going forward. So unfortunately, Allen Hurns had an ugly ankle foot injury, it turned the other way. Cole Beasley is a free agent, so we'll see if they go with him. Michael Gallup did have a touchdown here, so some promise for him. So I expect Cooper and Gallup to be the starters. We'll see about Beasley. Hearn's really tough injury to come back from. I think he will try, but I don't know if the Cowboys want him. Tavon Austin looked good in the return game. Still a gadget player. Blake Jarwin, limited action there in the passing game, 3 for 15. We'll see if it's Dalton Schultz or Jeff Swaim getting more involved at tight end. But I think they're going to keep this offense pretty simple in this run and going forward. A lot of Cooper, a little bit of Gallup, a lot of Elliott in both the running and passing game. And Dak doing his running passing thing. So they have shot against the Rams, and I do like their upside in that particular game. Now we flip the day to Sunday, 23-17. The Chargers go into Baltimore and win, and they were in control early. I guess you could call it control. It was 12-0 at halftime. So the Ravens defense bended, didn't break. Phillip Rivers, which you thought could be a grind, he at least didn't make mistakes in this game, but a lot of digging and dunking, very conservative game plan, 160 yards only, no TDs, no interceptions. Melvin Gordon really had to reach for his 40 yards on 17 carries, banged up, had a TD to kind of salvage his day, but it was not pretty for the Chargers offense, even though they put up 23 points in this one. You had Mike Williams lead the way, 2 catches for 42, 4 for 37 for Keenan Allen. So they grinded away against the Ravens, did the best they could. It's a very tough Ravens defense. The Patriots defense, we'll have to see Stephon Gilmore, who he covers here. I would expect it's going to be Mike Williams on the outside because Allen, you can move him in the slot, and Tyrell Williams is more of the straight-up deep threat. So Mike Williams could have his hands full here in this game, but you can run the Patriots with Gordon there. So, and you can use the tight end. So we'll see if Hunter Henry's activated, but Antonio Gates was a factor in key spots in this game with 4 catches for 35 yards, caught all of his targets. So he could be a key target again next week, because that's a weakness of the Patriots. So we'll have to see how it goes, but Chargers I would expect to be a little bit more efficient and crisp offensively against Patriots defense. Again, not at the high level of the Ravens defense overall. They were swarming and getting to Rivers, and Rivers did a good job just to be sacked once in this game. That's how tough it was. But anyway, I'm looking at the Chargers being, again, overall bounce back game, except for that Gilmore, likely Williams, Mike Williams matchup there in Foxborough. Now on the Ravens side of thing, good ending for Lamar Jackson. 54 rushing yards, 194 yards, 2 TDs, interception. Very ugly early. He was sacked 7 times. Had a big drought with completions, but when they got behind, he got going here. Had a nice 31-yard TD pass to Michael Crabtree. Another short 7-yard TD pass to Michael Crabtree. So there's some hope. And remember, these receivers are not exactly world beaters. I think they had some moments early, but once teams took away Joe Flacco's deep ball to John Brown, it was a little easy to defend this team, and that's what we saw from the Ravens there. Now, that's what we got. And looking here, I think they'll have to look to upgrade. Crabtree did his best. He's a good veteran leader. They might have to keep him around. The best connection for Jackson seemed to be Willie Snead and the tight end Mark Andrews. We'll see if they get the other tight end, the rookie that was drafted in the first round, Hayden Hurst, involved next year. So I wouldn't settle on anything this Baltimore receiving core. They completely blew things up with Brown, Crabtree, and Snead. But they got to see who fits there with Jackson the best there in 2019. They could go and draft a wide receiver. I think in the backfield, we'll see about Alex Collins and Buck Allen and Ty Montgomery. But Alex Collins, of course, was an IR a long time ago. But Ty Montgomery didn't touch the ball here. Buck Allen was just a special teams guy. Gus Edwards and Kenneth Dixon, I think this could be the backfield going forward. Edwards, the traditional running game was bottled up, 8 for 23. That's the thing. He's just a limited power straight up back. Dixon's got a little bit more wiggle. He turned 3 catches into 53 yards while he was tough sledding in the backfield, 6 for 13. So Dixon actually was the leading receiver here. So I really like Dixon. He's had injuries. He's had suspensions. They've stuck with him. That's it. He had a fumble in this game. They still liked him keep going there in the end when they were in trail mode. So they really like Dixon. He could be the guy that gets the most touches in this backfield when he has that full year of health and practice ready to go, and he's indoctrined in this offense with Jackson. So something to watch. Nothing you can say that you're settled on Edwards being a feature back all of a sudden here. But Jackson, he's going to still do some running. I would look at Lamar Jackson to Deshaun Watson, a little bit of that combination player that I would look at, where he's going to transition a little bit more to settling in the pocket, throwing the ball a little bit better, but he's not going to take away the whole running element completely. That would be silly. That's taking away something special he can do, like Prescott or Wilson, that really enhances game. So I expect Jackson to be a better passer, but when you look at him, 194 yards and two TDs, when you're under duress, seven sacks, and this secondary pass rusher playing well, that's a pretty good performance. I mean, he wasn't playing just a bad team. He was playing a very good Chargers team, and he still put up some numbers for you in fantasy. So in reality, Jackson's going to prove that's going to make him a more viable fantasy player overall, even if the running is a little reined in. Passing certainly is going to go up for Jackson. Now, Jackson was drafted in the first round, the end of the first round, number 32 overall. And a reminder here that Locked On NFL Draft is locked into the 2019 class. We saw Baker Mayfield and Jackson really helped fantasy players. Sam Darnold and Josh Allen had their moments in DFS, and we also had Josh Rosen starting there as a first-round pick. You could have as many with the potential of Drew Lock and Will Greer, and we'll see if Dwayne Haskins is in that mix as well. So you got to listen to Locked On NFL Draft here. John Ledyard, Trevor Sikkema do a great job. We got the boost from the Draft Dudes as well, our second draft show on the network, part of the Draft Network crew there, giving you the insight. And all over our podcasts there, team by team, we have some good draft insight for you. So check it out here in the off season on Locked On Network. And as a reminder, I also do a mock draft on sportingnews.com there as well. So you can check out my latest mock as well and get into the draft and make sure you're connected here to this network, listening to all the shows. We'll talk a lot of draft as well on Locked On Fantasy Football here. So stick with us here off season long. We'll be right back to look at the final game of Wildcard Weekend, the shocker that was the Eagles-Bears, here in a minute. All right, so we have one more game to break down here before we put a close on the Wildcard Weekend that was in the NFL. Eagles upset the Bears 16-15, the third of four road teams to win this weekend. And what can we say about the magic of Nick Foles? Bears defense on the road, no running game, 42 yards on 23 carries, no big deal. He ends up with 266 yards, a pair of TDs, a pair of interceptions, but of course he had his magic late in the game as well, as the Eagles had a third quarter touchdown and a fourth quarter touchdown. They only had a field goal in the first half, so they rev it up, not exactly lighting up the scoreboard, but Foles ends up with solid numbers. We knew the running game was bad. We told you to avoid all those backs, Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams. They combined for 43 yards there. He had one Foles kneel down in the mix. Foles, what we thought was going to keep it simple to his guys, and he did. 6 for 82 for Alshon Jeffrey on 9 targets, 5 for 52 on 7 targets for Zach Ertz, and welcome to the party, pal, Golden Tate. 5 catches, 46 yards, and that game-winning touchdown. Very similar usage to his Lions days, 9.2 yards per catch. So, dinking-dunking extension of the running game, really, for Tate. And Nelson Agholor had a few big snags in this one. Dallas Goedert had the other touchdown for Foles. So, he looked in control here with the passing options. Now, the Saints' defense is a little bit more leaky than the Bears, but can have some coverage tests there with Marshawn Lattimore. You have Eli Apple playing well of late. They erased the tight end of the first matchup. Zach Ertz did nothing. They've been really stingy against that position all year with DeMario Davis and their safeties. So it's a lot of concern there for the Eagles' offense. So can they keep it going? They've been hot with Foles. Foles, we know when he gets in the zone with his high floor, or high ceiling, I should say, he can always come crashing to earth, but when he's playing this well, at least putting up the numbers, he's not playing well reality-wise overall. I think he's playing well in the clutch perception of things with two TDs and 266 yards against the Bears defense. A lot of better quarterbacks have failed to even do that. So you got to give Foles credit there. The Saints figure to be a little bit more of a challenge, but it also should be more of a high-scoring game there. I know the first matchup was 48-7 with Carson Wentz in there, but there's some hope a little bit with Foles, and he can get the job done. Besides, we've seen this magic before. He's going to be that bargain guy we look at again in this divisional playoff round for sure. And again, the more we underestimate him, the more he's going to come through. The more we overestimate him, the more that means he's going to fail and come crashing down to earth. So he's a boom or bust player. If you're okay with that and you're in DFS and tournament style, that's the guy to go to mainly because of that style of play. Now, looking at the Bears, unfortunately, their season came to an end. Mitchell Trubisky, the takeaway here is he played really well in his first playoff game, considering. I mean, the Bears' offensive line was decent. They didn't get much support in the running game either. They gave up on a little bit with Jordan Howard being the leading rusher, 10 carries for 35 yards. Not enough Tariq Cohen for me, with only one carry for 0 yards. He only had 3 catches for 27 as well. So they could have used Cohen a lot more in this game. It was a little mysterious by Matt Nagy and the coaching staff, but Trubisky, all things considered, 303 yards and a TD. There, he was banged up and had to go in the medical tent in the middle of the game as well. So gritty performance, good things ahead for Trubisky. That Allen Robinson connection really revved up here late in the season when both players were healthy. 10 for 143 and a touchdown for Allen Robinson. So he looks locked in, legitimate free agent pickup as the number one receiver here going forward. I think he'll have a better second year as Trubisky is a little bit more settled in Nagy's offense in year three for him overall, year two with Nagy. And Robinson's clearly the go-to guy. The rest of the guys have been just a guy. Taylor Gabriel had like one or two big games, but that was about it. 4 catches for 37. Anthony Miller, the rookie from Memphis, after flashing a little bit, really came down to earth. 3 for 34 on 5 targets here to end his rookie season. So we'll see how this plays out. But Robinson's clearly the number one. There was no Trey Burton. He had a mysterious growing injury pop up on Saturday night that cost him to miss time. Trey Burton had mixed results. He had some touchdowns and some impact, but overall was very limited in this offense. So we'll see if they get him involved more. Adam Shaheen had to take over tight end, 3 for 13 there. And Ben Broniker also had 2 for 15 at tight end. So we'll see going forward, Shaheen, Burton, is that more of a tight end by committee there? Who's going to step up really as that number two option? We think it's now Anthony Miller behind Allen Robinson. Are they going to use Cohen and Howard in the same way? A lot of question marks for this Bears offense, even with the upside, but the one thing that ties it pretty well is Mitchell Trubisky does have some appeal as a back-end QB1 because of his running ability. It was reined in this one again, partly because he was banged up, and partly the Eagles front was playing pretty well, but something to look at for sure in 2019. There, the Bears defense, they did their job, you have to say that. They had 2 interceptions here. Got to Foles only once. That was a big credit to the Eagles offensive line, but the Bears defense is here to stay. Khalil Mack is locked up here, and he's going to be an impact player. They got Roquan Smith just getting started as a rookie. Very loaded defense. So they'll be, again, a high-end defense special teams one there, and they definitely were in this game, even with losing the game here. And, Cody Parkey, rough ending here. We have to mention him a little bit. The Bears have to go find another kicker probably in this offseason. It was a pretty decent season, better than you think for Parkey, with all those upright hits, but and that's why it's tough to rely on kickers in fantasy, and because they're so frustrating in reality as well. So something to keep in mind if you're looking to make that change in your league. There you go. There are all your takeaways from a wild card weekend in the NFL. We'll turn the page here the rest of the week to looking at the games. We're teaming up here with my bookie all week, so we'll start looking at the games from a betting perspective, maybe some prop bets here later in the week, as well as your DFS values as we get later in the week to help fill out your lineups. And if you're playing in that playoff mini year-long version as well, we'll keep you in mind as we break down the 4 games. Again, the 4 games of divisional playoff weekend that we'll look at are the Colts and Chiefs, the Chargers and Patriots in the AFC. In the NFC, it's going to be the Cowboys and Rams and Eagles and Saints. So can't wait to break those games down for you. Hope you enjoyed the takeaways here of Wildcard Weekend. This has been Vinny Iyer for Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for joining us to start another week.